Paul's command for the church in regard to leaders, whether they are our natural leaders, whether they are spiritual leaders. And when we get down to another passage later on, I'm going to ask my wife to bring up something here, because God, how many of you know that God gives us pictures? At times we could read something, we really don't get it. Even Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke of a physical story that had a spiritual truth. And all throughout the Bible, God uses natural things to relay a spiritual truth. And it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now this word here, men, is the word, the Greek word anthropos, which means all people. And then he goes on to describe for kings, referring to those that are in authority, governmental authority over you, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may what? Lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And so why do we want to pray for that? Because look what it says here in verse 4. This is what God desires. This is what the Apostle Paul received from the Lord. For this is good and acceptable, verse 3, in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to know the knowledge of the truth. How many of you know it's easier to share your faith in time of peace than in time of war? And so he's saying we need to pray for the nation that we continue to be in a time of peace and not peace and not conflict, so that the gospel can have a continuous free course within our nation. And then goes on to describe who this God our Savior is. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say how this salvation was secured for all people, who gave himself, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom, as the redemption price, for who? All, to be testified of in due time. So why don't we just, all of us here, as I begin to pray, that you also pray. Pray specifically for our president. Pray for the president's family. Pray for the vice president and his family. Pray for all the advisors. Pray for those that surround him. Pray for those in Congress and in Senate. Pray for those, oh, Lord Jesus. Pray for those, the Department of Defense, the State Department, Department of Transportation, our Justice Department, our Supreme Justices. And, you know, from there, then you have to go down to state government. You got to go down to each local state when you're praying. And then from each local state, you got to come down to each county, and you pray for the county government. Then within each county, you begin praying for city and town government. And then a home is also a government for individual families making the right choices for their own lives. We also have to pray for business, that businesses that'll be honest and truthful, that will hold up godly moral principles that they'll follow, okay? Because how many of you know not all businesses are honest? And so I want this to become a reality to you, whether we cover all these areas this morning or not. This is a truth from God's word that we're all supposed to be participating in. And if you have a hard time remembering when you last did this, may God encourage you from this day forward to prompt you regularly to pray for our government and those in government over us, okay? And also, this also refers to spiritual government. The Church of Jesus Christ needs prayer, okay? Denominations need prayer. There's many denominations, departing from the truth. They're not accepting what this says anymore. They're making up truth as they see it, and we have to pray for them also, okay? So we want to pray for natural government and spiritual government, amen? And so let's just go ahead and just thank the Lord. Can we not just begin by thanking the Lord for the country in which we live? Amen. Lord God, we do thank you for this United States of America. And as I am reminded, Lord God, whether it be on a penny, a $1, $5, $20, $100 bill, it still declares, "In God we trust." And that's a capital G, and it refers to you, God Almighty as Creator. It doesn't refer to anybody else. that our founding fathers, Lord God, they believed, or at least they acknowledged, whether they were believers in you or just theists, there was an acknowledgement of God, the Judeo-Christian God. And so we come before you, Creator. We come before you, Father God. We come before you, Jesus, as Lord, as King, as President of Presidents, as the one who stands over governments and over nations. And we address you this morning from a humble heart that our nation needs your help. We're coming in behalf of the nation that we live in, Lord God. The nation that once stood as number one of all nations has dropped down into 18, 19, or number 20 among nations now. That our standing is, it seems to be falling every year, Lord God, because there are choices and decisions that are being made that are contrary to you. And we're asking, Lord God, for your intervention. We are asking, Lord God, for you, Lord, to have influence upon men and women, Lord God, whether it be in the White House, Lord God, whether it be in Congress or Senate, Lord, or the different branches of government. We are asking for men and women, Lord God, who are endowed with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and godly counsel to be placed in these positions, Lord. And those, Lord God, who would speak a contrary word or give bad counsel or would lead this United States of America to a place that you do not want it to go, we ask that their counsel become as nothing. We ask, Lord God, that they, what they would say would fall on deaf ears. We would ask, Lord God, humbly we would ask, but boldly we would ask, that if there are people, Lord God, in positions of government that seek to undermine this United States of America, because of their position, we ask, Lord God, that they be removed, Lord God, from their place. We do, Lord God, ask, as it says here, for their salvation. We do ask, Lord God, that the gospel reach them. We do ask, Lord God, that they come to a place of acknowledgement of you. But we do ask, Lord God, for any darkness. We do ask for any wrong or hidden agenda to be exposed, Lord. We know that there's councils, Lord God. We know that there's people who have agendas, Lord, that are not favorable to you. And we ask, Lord, for your hand. We are looking to your hand, Lord God, of leadership. We are looking to your hand, Jesus. And so we acknowledge you today as God Almighty over this United States of America. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way once again. We do ask for a spiritual climate change, Lord. When prayer was taken out of the schools in the 60s and the Ten Commandments after that, that the moral compass of this country began to change. And God was no longer in the forefront of people's thinking or in children's minds, Lord God. And we're coming to a place that almost anything goes. Father, your word tells us in Isaiah chapter 59, it says that truth has fallen in the streets and no one calls for justice anymore or righteousness. And Lord God, as long as there's believers in Jesus Christ still left in this land, we will call, Lord God, for the right way. We will call for justice and mercy, Lord God. We will call, Lord God, for righteousness and truth. We will call, Lord God, because your word says that mercy precedes judgment. And we're asking, Lord God, to stay your hand just a little while longer. We're asking, Lord God, for your intervention in the affairs of the United States of America. And we're asking for your influence, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, according to your word. And we look to you. We look to you humbly and as your people. And help us, Lord, help us. Help us as believers in you, Jesus, to lift up our voices more frequently and more often, Lord. I know a lot of people can grumble and complain and speak negative things. But your word says that we are to offer up prayers and supplications and intercessions. And we're supposed to end with giving of thanks. Lord God, that's what does a whole lot of good. And so we look to you, Lord God, and we do thank you we do praise you that you are the one who continues to reign supreme. And so we ask for your supreme court justice to reign in the United States of America. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe Larry's going to read from, have a specific prayer concerning our president. A couple passages here. The reason why I'm wanting you to hear these passages, so that you can maybe write them down and realize that there are specific passages in the Word of God that you can see what it says and pray what it says. Okay? That we need to know that there are Scripture, the Word of God tells us that we need to do these things. Okay?
Before I read these two passages of Scripture, when I looked at these after Pastor Mark gave them to me, I was reminded of something that my wife says all the time. And I think it applies to what I'm about to pray, is the president of this country, of the United States of America, is probably disliked more than any other president that's ever stood in that office, okay? And this is what my wife used to say all the time. She still says it. If the world hates, it's probably God's will. Because anything that the world hates, God has got a hand in. Because he does everything differently than what you and I plan or could think. First scripture I'm going to read is Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Second one I'm going to read is out of Daniel chapter 2. It says, Daniel answered and said, blessed is the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the time and seasons. He overcometh kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness. And when I read those two passages of scriptures, the president we have in the United States of America has been designated and ordained by God. Whether the American people like it or don't like it, God is placing there. God is using him to accomplish his plans and his purposes. He's going to give him wisdom. He's going to give him understanding. He's going to give him things to do and say that the world is not going to understand or not going to like, and they're going to disagree with. But see, we have to understand one thing. Jesus is still Lord. God is still King. And God's plans and purposes are being revealed in this country of the United States of America. And he has set up Donald Trump and his family, Pence and his family, to be the commander-in-chief. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to be honest, there's probably one person that comes to your mind that you may not like, and that's Nancy Pelosi. Okay? But you know what? Because you don't like her, because I don't like her, doesn't mean that we don't pray and intercede on her behalf. Because if you find someone in your heart that you may not like, you probably need to be praying for them more. Because there's something that they've done or said that you don't like. And here's what we really need to understand when it comes to praying for our president. Stop believing everything you read or see on TV or over the radio. Okay? We have to believe, and I believe that's one of the reasons Pastor Mark is having us do what we're doing this morning, is we got to get our focus off of what the world is saying, what the world is declaring is going to happen. This is the beginning and the end. This book, this Bible, declares everything that's going to happen in this world. And we've already seen it in this presidency. Where is the capital of Israel now? It's in Jerusalem. That is spoken of in this Bible. And they're going, well, you know, why is he doing it? Politically, they don't understand. There's a lot of things that have occurred, that occurred under Obama, that occurred under Bush, that occurred under every president, that they made a decision to do based upon this book, not even knowing that they were fulfilling God's plans and God's purposes. Heavenly Father, we know that you set up kings. We know that you take down kings. Father, and we know that you give wisdom to those you appoint and assign in different positions of authority in this country. And Lord, we lift up President Trump to you. We lift up his Vice President, Pence. We lift up all those who are under his command, Father. And Father, we ask that you move by your Spirit, that you continue to guide and direct him, because we know Pence believes in you, Father, but there's also divine influence that is taking place upon Trump that the media and the world cannot understand. They don't understand. But Lord, we ask that you continue to keep your hand upon him, that you continue to guide and direct him. And Father, that he will stand for the truth of your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, you've already given him a skin of an alligator, Father. And Father, we ask that you continue to cause him to be tough. You continue to cause him to stand up and be firm, Father, for the things that he knows that you're placing in his heart that are correct. Whether they're politically correct or whether they please the media or not please the media, Father, put something in his heart as you are continuing to do that he will do it according to what is pleasing to you and you only, Father. And you've given him the ability to withstand all the fiery darts. And there are many fiery darts that come against him every day, Father, that come against his administration every day, Father. And as Pastor Mark already prayed, those you've not placed in those positions of authority and who are in positions of authority that are contrary to what you want and your plans and your purposes, Father, we know that if they were not planted there by you, Father, that they can be uprooted and they can be removed, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just continue to lift the leaders of this country up, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for divine protection over them, Father. Because we know that we have an enemy that would love nothing more than for him to be removed from office right now, Father. And all the lies that are being spoken, all the lies and the propaganda that's being spread forth in the name of Jesus, Father, I take authority over that right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, cause your truth to be revealed. Cause your truth to stand, Father, because your truth will stand the test of time. And your word says a lie lasts only for a moment, but the truth will stand the test of time. Amen. And we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your divine hand upon President Trump and his administration. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If any of you have read scriptures and you've read through the book of Daniel, you know that there was a King Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride, and that was one of the scriptures that Larry was reading that it referred to. And because he exalted himself so much and he took pride in his position, God made him like the beast of the field and caused him to eat grass. Okay, so God can take a leader and cause them to be very humbled. But there was another king after him called Belshazzar. And he also dishonored God. And Daniel is called to the presence of Belshazzar because there was some kind of handwriting that began to appear on the wall. You ever hear that statement, the handwriting on the wall? Well, that's what it's referring to. I'm not going to read the whole story concerning it. I just want you to know that, well, what does that say? I mean, what is that referring to? So they get Daniel, who is able to interpret dreams. And he's like, well, if anybody can interpret this, it has to be Daniel. I want you to listen to what Daniel has to say to this king. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another." In other words, he wanted to, you know, lavish gifts upon Daniel for making known the handwriting. And Daniel's like, "I don't want your money, keep it." "O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and a majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him," this is in Daniel chapter 5, verse 19 now, "and because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, languages, trembled and feared before him." Now, most of you, if you do not know, remember that this is referring to Persia at this time. The children of Israel had been taken captivity. Jerusalem was raided, and the people of God were taken captivity and brought into Babylon, which is known as Persia, or present day, the two countries worked together, Iraq and Iran. And that's why sometimes when you meet Iranians or Iraqis, they refer to themselves as Persians. Okay, so this is who Daniel is talking to. He's talking to the president, or he's talking to the king over Persia, or we could even say present day Iran. And he is speaking now to them, and he is telling them, whomever, and he said that these kings, the one who is before you and you right now, you did what you wished. Verse 20, speaking of King Nebuchadnezzar. "But when his heart was lifted up," speaking with pride, "his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like wild like the beasts, and his dwelling was that of the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, till his body was wet with the dew of heaven." And it says, it continued until what? Till he knew, till he recognized. The one scripture talks about, till he turned his head, being on all fours, turned his head, and says that he knew, or he recognized, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. You see, I'm a person who believes scripture. And we should all be a people who believe scripture. That if, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you must believe from Genesis to the Amen in Revelation, the very last Amen. God wants us to realize that's what faith is. Faith chooses to believe what this says as supreme above every other word. And we choose to believe this as supreme above every other word. And so we still today continue to believe that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And he appoints over it whomever he chooses. Christine, could you please bring that to me? And don't let that tip inside, please. And I'm going to finish reading here from Isaiah chapter 40. And like I said, God sometimes gives us pictures. And here is a picture. You're like, what does a bucket have to do with this prayer? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15. "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as dust on the balance. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations," what does it say here? "All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless." Isaiah 40, verse 21. "Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?" Going back to Genesis 1:1. "Have you not understood that the foundations of the earth, it is he," speaking of God, "who sits above the circle of the earth. The inhabitants as compared to God, the inhabitants of the earth as compared to God are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like unto a tent. He brings the princes or the rulers to nothing. He makes judges of the earth useless. I'm trying to get you to have a little bit of picture of how great God is. And with inside here, I just have a little bit of water. And God gives us an illustration here. That drop right there, inside here. That drop, it says all the nations are like a drop in a bucket. What's the comparison? If you take any nation that's ever been a nation, and the might of that nation, and the armies of that nation, and the weaponry of that nation, and you take all the nations that ever were, and the nations that ever will be, and the nations that aren't were ever will be, and you combine them all together with their force, their might, their military, their technology, and their ability, it looks like just a drop as compared to the might, ability, and strength of God. He's trying to give us a picture here that no matter how bad things get, no matter how south things go, no matter how dark things get, that there is a God who is greater than the combined forces of any government and any nation, whoever existed, who now exists, whoever will exist, that your faith and your trust is still to be in God. They are just but a drop in the bucket as compared to God. He's trying to strengthen your faith. As my mother, she grew up in Hitler's Germany. And to hear the horror stories that my mother had to live through as a half-Gentile and half-Jewish woman, and her dad was my grandfather was a German Jewish physician in Berlin, and had to reissue my mother a new birth certificate just so her life would be spared. And so I have my mother's birth certificate, a reissue, that just has the mother's name, which was a Gentile name, a non-Jewish name, and the father part is left blank. My grandfather left, so my grandmother and mother would be preserved throughout World War II. And they were preserved because he loved them enough to say, I need to leave and you will be okay, because they will have no idea that my mother was Jewish. Whether you're half Jew or quarter Jew or any Jew at all, you would be taken away and killed. And I just thought it was amazing that God was able to see down through the generations that I would be here today. And God has a plan and God has a purpose. Now, do we understand all the things that happened with the Holocaust or why certain things like that happen? Because the tyranny of men and the people that are wanting to dominate are doing it in a wrong way. But no matter how bad things get, God is still wanting you to look at the greatness of himself. And we know that we are living in perilous times, as the scripture says. But we also have to know who's in charge of our lives and who's in charge of this nation. And that's why we're here praying today. We need to be a praying, prepared people. And that no matter what your life may face personally, or whether it's because of choices of government, we're here praying. But we also have to have an understanding that the God who you've come to know through Father God, through Jesus Christ, is still your Father. He's got you in his hand, and he knows how to keep you no matter what's taking place on this planet. And we have to realize this, okay? You have to know this deep within inside your heart. So what am I going to pray right now? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that you get a picture, not how great a nation is or what one nation threatens another nation with. I've heard some of you out of your own mouths about North Korea, about Iran, about what China may do, or what some of these tariffs may take place. And there is fear in some people's voices. There is concern in some people's lives, because you're allowing, like what Larry said, you're allowing what is being portrayed or spoken to us over the media to become a greater truth than them being just but a drop, part of the drop, not even the drop, part of that drop in a bucket. And God wants your faith in him. Okay? God wants your trust in him. Amen? It even says that they're just but dust. Got any dust up here? Bill, how you doing cleaning? Okay. Just when you think of dust, it's basically so small, and it just, so if you compare this entire room as God and as all the combined forces of any government that ever lived and all their armies as but dust. Doesn't that elevate God just a little bit more in your thinking today? Doesn't that just give him a little bit more of a precedence within your life, or what Jesus said after his resurrection, the very words of Jesus himself, if you'd please put this up for me, Keith, in Matthew chapter 28, I think it's verse 18. And what is Jesus? He makes this declaration. And look at the declaration that Jesus himself makes. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, this is speaking of all governing authority, has been given to me where? In heaven and where else? On earth. And that's where your faith is to be this morning, in the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we read from your word. We read and know that you are the one who reigns sovereign over the nations of this earth, Lord. And we also know, Lord God, that when people go astray from you, you allow certain people to come into office, Lord, so that the hearts of people may cry out. When the church gets cold, Lord God, or when people depart from you, you will allow those, Lord God, to be in a government position to once again stir the heart of your people, the church. We're asking, Father, that it never come to that place. But we do ask for revival. We do ask for spiritual awakening. We do ask, Lord God, that all those who call themselves Christian or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice for the sins of the world and have become a child of God through faith in you, I pray, Father, that their hearts continue to look to you as God Almighty, as the one who has the authority, the governing authority of things in heaven and things on earth, Lord. And we look to you, Lord, that we can get a picture here from this bucket, that you give us a physical thing for us to look at, that the combined forces, Lord, of any government, any nation, and their armies, Lord God, and their armament that ever lived, that are present here today, or even the threats of them, Lord God, against other nations, or the ones that will ever be, that they're just but really nothing as compared to who you are. And that anything can be thwarted, any plan, any terrorist scheme, Lord God, can be thwarted, can be brought to the attention of those who need it to be brought an attention to, Lord God, to stop these cowardly attacks. And so we pray today, I pray today, we all agree today that you are helping us look to you as greater than all. Help each person, Lord God, if there's anybody who is living in fear of today and fear of tomorrow, or if anybody has a dread upon them about how life may be, a worry, a concern of terror, Lord, your word tells us you've not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us by your Holy Spirit power, the Holy Spirit who embodies the very presence of yourself dwelling within us, power, love, and a sound or a controlled mind, a mind that does not just go off in fear or worry, Lord God, but it is brought back to a place of stability through passages like we've been reading here today. So we pray for the church, Lord God, believers in Jesus, to remain strong and steadfast in you, Lord, that their hearts are full of faith and belief and trust in you, Lord, that they continue to depend upon you. As the Word of God tells us very clearly in Proverbs, trust in the Lord. Church, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Learn to acknowledge God in all your ways, and you can be assured that he will direct the steps and paths of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've got two scriptures I'm going to read, but as Pastor Mark was praying, I was reminded that there was a place in this world, I think it was called Burundi, or there was a, that the Lord spoke to Carter Collin to take a team to go to. Mm-hmm. And this place, they said, no man goes to this place because there was gangs there, and there was a certain territory in this area that people, I mean, there was bloodshed. There was people killed every single day. And that's exactly where the Lord told Carter Conlon and his group to set up for their time of ministry. And they said, you're nuts. You're crazy. That place today is thriving because they were moved by faith and God's direction to go there. And guess what changed it? Prayer. Prayer changed that whole area. Derek Prince had a book, and he talks in this book about the Lord put on his heart to begin to pray because he was like, how can this happen? Lord said, just trust me. He began praying for this one nation. And as he continued to pray, God moved and changed the hearts and lives of these people's nations. Some of you sitting here this morning think, what can I give? You know what? God can take any one of you in here this morning, anyone listening over the internet, and he can put on your heart an area of the world, an area of the country, a neighborhood, a person, and if you begin to pray and intercede on their behalf, you can change a whole nation. You can change a whole country. See, we lose sight of that. I mean, I'm getting convicted as he's sharing this morning because we have that power. But we have an enemy that doesn't want us to believe that we can pray and change situations and circumstances. You know, we get upset with one another. Let me tell you something. If you're upset with one another, start praying that God will change that person's heart. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to change your heart first. Because we can't change one another. If you don't like something about somebody, just ask the Lord to begin to show you what they need to do to change and let him change. He's the only one who can change your heart. He's the only one who has the ability to change your heart, the person sitting to you's heart, nations, leaders, administrators. He's the only one. Why? Because he's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. He's still on the throne. And he's still desiring to use you and I to pray and intercede and change people's heart. I'm going to read a couple passages of scriptures here. First one I'm going to read is Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We definitely need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the heart. God loves Israel. God loves Jerusalem. And thank you. And there is turmoil going on in that area of the world all the time. All the time. Every day there's turmoil going on. So we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But why do we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Romans 10:1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's God's heart. God's heart is that they might be saved. And then you go down to my notes. Yeah, thank you. Starting in verse 9, it says, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever, who does that leave out? Nobody. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Jesus is the same God to the Gentile. He's the same God to the Jewish person. He's the same God. He's the God over Israel. He's the God over this country. He's the God over every other country. And yes, we're to pray for Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem. But see, we got to get a bigger picture. We pray for Jerusalem because that is, God loves Jerusalem. He loves the Jerusalem. He loves the people of Israel. He loves them. And do you realize why Jerusalem is so important? You realize how much technology and things are developed in Jerusalem and Israel that affects the world? Some of the greatest things that have ever been invented, some of the great cures for diseases and sickness have come out of that little small territory. So that we need to continue to pray for that. We need to continue to pray for their peace. But we need to pray for their salvation because God loves the Jewish people the same as he loves you and I. And you know what? They've got to come the same way. I had a partner when I was up in New York who was a Jewish man. And I never will forget the day that he got saved. Because the day he got saved, there was his whole countenance changed. And I remember what Pastor Bill told me. And I actually got to experience in seeing this in Rick. The day he got saved, Pastor Mark used to say this. I mean, Pastor Bill used to say this. He probably said it to Pastor Mark too. But Pastor Bill used to say this. He goes, when a Jewish person comes to know Jesus Christ, confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and believes in her heart that they are saved, they experience something you and I never experience. They actually see Yeshua. They actually get to see the Messiah. And I never will forget the look on Rick's face the day he got saved. And I sat there and I looked at him and I said, Rick, what's going on? He said, I see the Messiah. I see the Messiah. See, that's what the Jewish people have been looking for all these years. They missed it when he rode into town. But when they get saved, when they come to know the Lord, they get to see their Messiah. That's exciting. Heavenly Father, oh, you love Jerusalem. You love the nation of Israel. Father, we continue to pray for their peace. But more importantly, Father, we pray for the salvation of every person that's in that nation, Father, that's in the nation of Israel, that abides in Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for the obedience of our President of the United States that had the initiative and moved the capital to Jerusalem. Because, Father, that is scriptural. Father, we thank you for the knowing that you've placed in his heart also to remain and have constant communication and favor with Jerusalem, Father. Because you do not want us to ever turn our backs on Jerusalem. But, Father, there are people in the administrative and the leadership abilities that say, no, we don't need to have a good relationship with Israel. Yes, we do, Lord. According to your book, according to your word, we need to have a good relationship with Israel. We need to protect Israel. We need to stand with Israel, Father. And, Father, there are things that are going on that are in the areas of darkness that we don't even know, Father. But we know that you're still the God who sees in the darkness. You're still the God who causes and rules and reigns over all the darkness that is going on regarding Israel and Jerusalem and other things in leadership positions, Father, and situations and circumstances and decisions that are being made, Father. But you are the God of light. Your light exposes all that darkness, Father. It causes your truth to come out, Father. So, Father, continue to bless, continue to watch over, continue to keep and protect
Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you for knowing that there is nothing that you are not aware of. There's nothing that goes on that you don't have your hand upon. And, Father, man always wants to take credit for what you're doing, Father. But, Lord, it is you and you only who are orchestrating all the situations and circumstances that are going on in the world today. And you've asked us to do one thing, Father. Pray. Pray. Because just, we're only, as Pastor Mark said, like a little, I mean, we're not even a drop. We're a part of a drop. But you can take that part of a drop and you can use us to change nations, to change legislation, to change situations and circumstances. And you can cause your will and your plans and your purposes to be brought forth in spite of what everyone says. Because Lord, I'm reminded of when President Trump was elected president of this country. There was a period of time during the night of the election. There was a group that had orchestrated a 40-day fast praying for the election in 2016. And they actually showed it on a graph. At one point, when all the intercessors began to pray, that the whole election changed in a second. That's because of your power, and that's because of your hand, Father. Because no one can be appointed without you having an approval on it. And things that we think that come up that we don't understand, you're never surprised, Lord. You knew before the foundations of the world what was going to happen. But yet, you want us to pray. You want us to pray for Jerusalem. You want us to pray for Israel. You want us to pray for everything that you place upon our heart. Why? So that you can have a hand and change situations and circumstances that are contrary to your will, your plans, and your purposes. And we thank you for your ability to change what we can't. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord God. I would just like to end this time with a passage from Revelation chapter 11. For most of you, people don't like to read the book of Revelation, but I do. It's a very wonderful, exciting, yet at times fearful reading. And yet there's a statement here when the seventh trumpet is sounded by an angel. And I just want you to hear what it says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." It speaks about the second coming of Jesus and the supremacy of Jesus, and when Jesus will come and the nations will be judged before him. And it speaks of that time in which it's just prior to the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ here on the earth, and it's just prior to the rapture or the catching away of the church, all believers in Jesus. But it does declare, there's that declaration here, that all the kingdoms of this world, as it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So you're to grab hold of a passage like that. And no matter what you see with your eyes or what you read, I was going to say papers, that's a thing of the past, or what you see on digital media, what's going on, that you continue to put your hope and your faith and your trust in the Lord. Amen? For some of you, it's important to get a hold of congressmen and senators. It's important to let your voice be made known. It's important to write emails. If you find out who they are and there's something you're not agreeing with or a stand that they have, it's yes, pray. But also, you need to write letters, too. You need to let your voice be made known. We are living in a country that we can contact our leaders in government. And if you want to, you can make your voice be made known. And just, instead of just wringing your hands, I don't know what to do, become active in the process. And you've heard me say this. If you are a citizen of the United States and you don't vote, don't complain. God has given us the ability to vote. However it is that you choose to vote, we have the freedom to vote. Other countries don't have that freedom, okay? We have been given that freedom. And if we aren't careful, that freedom will be taken from us, Okay? So if you're not a person who votes, then you need to keep your mouth shut about what's taking place. Okay? But if you do and you can, then please do so. But let it always be preceded by prayer, by the word of God, and say, Lord God, how is it that you want me to vote? And expect the divine wisdom and guidance of God to help you. Amen? So Heavenly Father, we come before you at the closing time of this prayer, praying for our nation, praying for our president, Lord God, praying for Congress and Senate, Lord, praying, Father, for the legislative branches of service, Lord God, the judicial branches of service, the military branches of service. We even talk about education, Lord God. We talk about all the departments, Lord God, that have an influence on anybody's hearts and upon their individual lives that come all the way down to us as the individual. And we look to you. We look to your hand. We look to you as being God. We look to you this day as being the supreme one over all that is taking place. But you do need a people who will acknowledge you. You do expect the people who are your children through faith in Jesus to raise our voices to you and acknowledge you, as we see so many times in Scripture. We have acknowledged you today. We have come before you, Lord God, in the prayer of faith and asking for your divine intervention, your divine care, your divine providence, Lord God, to continue to rule and reign over this nation and over all the nations of this world, even rogue nations, Lord God. Nations that have wrong or hidden agendas, Lord God, that have dominating communist agendas. You even rule over them. You are even able to keep them in check. But we do have a promise. We do have a word from the book of Revelation. The word simply tells us about yourself. You knew the end from the beginning. And that just blows our mind about how great you are. And there is that prophecy spoken of there, that at one point in time, maybe not so in distant future, we don't know how far off it is, but it talks about your return, Jesus. And it talks about you being the one who reigns supreme, a visible reigning of you, Lord God, a visible presence of you during your return. You came first time as Savior. The second time you come as Lord and Judge, and you will rule over the nations. So we thank you and we look to your rulership. We look to your government. We look to you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior and as our Lord. Teach us as your people how to be led and guided and directed of you in the land, on this planet you have allowed us to live. We pray this, Lord God, for your glory and unto your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that sometimes we need to have times like this? We need to have times that we pray corporately. Okay, you know, we have intercessory prayer at 9, from about 9 o'clock to 10. On Sunday mornings, we have Tuesday morning here prayer. Also, Christine has Tuesday evening prayer that we join in with the church in New York City. That we have a live prayer time here. But it's also important for us here that we have times of where we do call out on the Lord and we do pray corporately as a church, as from here, the territories, the United States, are all churches are gathering today to specifically pray for our president, for our nation, and we wanted to be a part of what they were doing, and so we joined in prayer with everyone else this day. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Did you enjoy? Okay, isn't this good? All righty.